welcome to NACSW's Podcast of the Month. Our podcast program makes available recordings of a wide variety of NACSW presentations and discussions on topics of particular interest to Christians and social work. Our Podcast of the Month program features a new podcast every 30 days for your listening pleasure. We hope you enjoy today's podcast.
Well, I have to tell you, I've introduced several folks the past few years, and I don't think I've ever felt more honored or more nervous to present our speaker tonight. As someone who has spent a few years, the last 15, serving and living in African-American neighborhoods and trying to be a part of seeing some justice in this world, it is truly, truly an honor to be able to introduce such a really an amazing prophetic woman of God. So let me tell you a little bit about Reverend Dr. Yvonne Delk. She received her BA from Norfolk State College, her Master's in Religious Education from Andover Newton Theological Seminary, and her Doctorate of Ministry at New York Theological Seminary. For nearly 40 years, Reverend Delk has been a strong ally in the fight for human and civil rights for people of color, children, and the poor. She is currently the founder and active director of the Center for African American Theological Studies in Chicago, Illinois. Among her many other accomplishments, she was the first African American woman ordained by the United Church of Christ. She was the executive director of Community Renewal Society in Chicago, where she was the first female and the first African-American to be the director of that organization. She's been a visiting lecturer on urban ministry at Harvard Divinity School. She served as a representative of the United Church of Christ to the World Council of Churches in Geneva, Switzerland. In this capacity, she served as the chair to the WCC's program to combat racism, and served for 7 years as the Director of Urban and Black Church Education for the Board of Homeland Ministries, United Church of Christ in New York. Will you all please join me in welcoming Dr. Reverend Delk.
Well, good evening. It is absolutely wonderful to be here in this place with you tonight. And I was made welcome not only by Brother Chase and the other folk who were sitting at the table where I had a chance to have a little bit of dinner, but also by a member of the staff of Norfolk State University, which I was very surprised about. Because my journey actually began in social work 50 years ago when I was a student at Norfolk State University. And I kept remembering when she came over, my professor, Ethlyn Strong, and my professor, Dr. Blue, who really invested so much into my becoming a social worker. It was the path that I was on. But then in the midst of everything, the Spirit intervened. And when the Spirit intervenes, you cannot easily dismiss the Spirit. And so I wrestled my senior year at Norfolk State with whether or not I would pursue a social work vocation or whether I would move to seminary to become an ordained minister. In many ways, I'd like to think that the two connected strongly in my heart, in my life, and in my vocation. So coming here tonight, after 50 years of ministry in the United States and around the globe, it's sort of like coming home. So thank you for the invitation. I speak to ministers many, many, many times, but not often do I have the opportunity to speak to Christians in social work. So I want to greet you first as Christians in the name and spirit of God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Liberator. I find it also wanting to greet you in the name of your theme as you celebrate your past and as you move as Christians in social work to shape the future. As Christians, with a vision for persons, for our society, we're on a journey. It's a journey from fragmentation to wholeness. It's a journey from some of the horrors and injustices of our past to promise and hope for a future. It's a journey where boundaries are shifting. Language sometimes seems to be changing, and where new alliances are forming. We, who are gathered here, are on a journey from the brokenness of our lives, our communities, our systems, and our globe, to the hope and the promise of the beloved community. I chose as a theme for this time with you, building networks of transformation towards the goal of achieving the beloved community. Now, I have to say that my understanding of the beloved community has been shaped by two prophets. One, Jesus Christ, and the other, Dr. Martin Luther King. And as I studied the model, the call, and the mission of Jesus Christ, I find it calling us, who claim his name, to build beloved communities that include those who are broken, those who are outcast, and those who are in need. Those who some would feel to be on the margins. I stay close to his words in the book of Isaiah and in Luke when he says, my very call and my reason for being is to announce freedom to folk who are captive, to preach good news to the poor, to heal those who are heartbroken, to pardon even prisoners, and to comfort all who mourn by giving them bouquets of roses instead of ashes, messages of joy instead of news of doom, a praising heart instead of a languid spirit. I have really understood my call as a Christian, working in society to help create the new community in Christ. Trying to work for a city out of the wreckage of broken lives, broken communities, broken systems, and even broken promises. The community that the prophet Isaiah speaks about, where ancient ruins can be rebuilt, a community where we can even raise up the foundations for generations yet to come, a community in which we can repair the breaches, where streets can be restored from being places of violence to being places where children play, where the elderly walk, and where we connect across the boundaries that have separated us into community. And I also understand the beloved community to be marked by two strong pillars, that of love coming from the heart and that of nonviolence. In a sermon at Riverside Church in New York City, exactly 1 year before his assassination, Dr. Martin Luther King said these words, and I quote, "We as a people can no longer afford to worship the God of hate, or bow before the altar of retaliation. The oceans of history are made turbulent by the ever-rising tides of hate. We still," he said, "have a choice, and it's nonviolent coexistence or violent co-annihilation." He called us to move past indecision to action. And he said, if we don't want to act, we will be dragged down the long, shameful corridors of time reserved for those who possess power without compassion, might without morality, and strength without sight. He said, this may be our last chance to choose chaos or community. I choose life. And I choose community. And I see you, the North American Association of Christians in Social Work, I see you more than just being professionals. I see you as Christians in social work, transforming towards achieving the beloved community. But I also have to say to you that while I have a vision of the beloved community, I have very few illusions about the times in which we now exist. These are not easy days. I sometimes see more chaos than community. The isms are still with us: racism and sexism, classism and homophobia. There's a climate of fear and violence and anger that surrounds us as we face the worst recession in memory. Two continuing wars, rampant terrorism and tyranny, poverty at home and around the globe. In the midst of a recession and bank failures, the political narrative which spoke to our values as a country shortly 2 years ago based on hope and change has now shifted to fear, anger, and a loss of faith. It appears to me that civility has died in America. An urgent pleas coming from religious leaders and others have been ignored by a media that just loves a perpetual conflict narrative. After the recent election, I believe that the political agenda will be frozen or in lockdown for the immediate future. I also come to this meeting from a session with one of the transformational networks that I work with, the Children's Defense Fund, headed by Marion Wright Elliman, and she reminds us that while we are in gridlock and lockdown, more than 13 million children continue to live in poverty. More than 9 million do not have health coverage. 1 in 3 black 8-year-old boys will be incarcerated. 7 out of every 4th graders can't read at grade level. A child is reported abused or neglected every 36 seconds. Many of our children don't even get enough to eat. Too many don't live in safe houses, and too many do not get good early childhood programs. Too many are not surrounded by loving families, caring communities, and churches or faith groups, so they are funneled into a cradle to prison pipeline. Many have already dropped out of school, gotten into trouble, and now face dead-end possibilities. Given the times in which we find ourselves, your theme haunts me: to help shape a future with Christian values is not only critical, it's urgent. The question, in face of the realities that we face and the spirit of the times, how do we now break through our vision of this beloved community? The good news, you're here. And not only you, but faith-based organizations operating in cities and communities all across the land and the globe are at work. Transformational networks are on the front lines and in the margins of our cities. They are in contested spaces, flowing through boundaries and across boundaries. They are pastors and priests and prophets. They're social workers, community organizers, social service providers, agents of institutional change. They're teachers, healers, researchers, pastors, and just ordinary people who care. They are listed, many of them, in many ways. When I went through the marvelous list of workshops that you have had here the last couple of days, the question, are we connected, though, to one another as a movement for transformation? And really, what is the transformation that we seek? What are the connections that we see? How do we find room and space to plant our hopes and dreams? How do we claim strategic places to live out our calling to be instruments of justice and healing and community for people for all walks of life who are crying out for a demonstration of God's love? How do we, many networks, become companions on the way and not simply competitors who get in each other's way? How do we move from our lone ranger model of ministry to the concept of community? If the powers and principalities that deny life are connected, how do we weave networks of transformation that connect us one to the other, spirit to spirit, organization to organization, faith-based to faith-based, listening to one another, nurturing one another, resourcing one another, and working with one another on the journey? The answer that I bring is one that flows out of my past 50 years of ministry. And I offer it, first of all, to you, because you have boldly said you're looking back at the past, but you're trying to chart your way to the future. So my words, first of all, are to you. And my words are these. First, be clear about what it means for you to be Christians in social work. Be clear about your name. Be clear about your standing ground, your values, your vision, your strategies to work in society. And then be clear about the names, the standing ground, the values, and the visions of others who are working for social change. And be clear about the connections. Be clear about how sometimes there are no permanent friends or permanent enemies, but permanent issues. I've been around many tables where some of our theological opinions about different things were very, very different. But we agreed on one thing. In many of those places, it was about trying to eliminate poverty. So I begin the presentation not with a laundry list of networks that are transforming lives and systems, but a word to you. As you seek to not only celebrate your past, but to learn from your past, and then to shape a future. The question, who or what informs your identity, your affirmations, your visions, and your actions? And it's not